Let's pray. Dearest God, please give me the words that you want me to say. Please open our hearts and help your message for us come to us and stay within us. Amen. Please sit. The passage that we heard from Acts, I wonder what your reaction to it is. I guess Luke, the writer, wants us to be amazed and for our jaw to drop. The description is, after all, astounding. A violent wind, tongues of fire, and people speaking in tongues. It's not something you see every day, is it? If I'm honest, though, my reaction to this passage is that, yes, it's amazing. Yes, it's incredible. But why don't we see things like that now? Why doesn't it happen every day? Why don't things like that happen to me? How come God doesn't send wind and fire to change the world? Is this just a story to describe things in the past and how Christianity grew? Is it a story not really worth bothering ourselves about? Because after all, things like this don't seem to happen now. Well, oddly, weird things do happen to people, which they can't account for, except to say it was an experience of God's Spirit. Joy Dipple was telling me the other week how she asked to receive God's Spirit and the next day felt absolutely overwhelmed with love and peace, which she felt for others when she went out. Roger felt God's presence intensely while sharing the peace one Sunday. Joy said she could tell something had happened when he didn't complain about her forgetting to record Last of the Summer Wine. My husband had an unusual experience following news about a close friend who'd become very ill. Ed wasn't a Christian at the time, but knowing that our friend was close to death, he did what many are compelled to do, and he prayed. And he said he felt a peace and an assurance that he couldn't explain. "He'll be all right," he said to me. I couldn't understand it because I knew just how ill our friend was. "I don't think he will," I said to Ed, but again he said he'll be all right. Now please don't think that I'm saying Ed's prayers were answered, that God stopped our friend dying because we asked him to. It wasn't like this. Ed said it was more a revelation of what was going to happen, and our friend made a full recovery. As for myself, I didn't believe in that sort of stuff, thank you very much. So one day I went to a prayer day, and the leader asked us to close our eyes and for God to send his Spirit. We were standing up at the time, and I remember starting to sway a bit, and I thought, well, that's because I'm standing up with my eyes closed. It always happens, it's nothing. And then my breathing changed. It became deeper, almost like sleeping, and I felt a warm peace. I realised I was rocking a lot, and I thought I must look like a right fool. I remember being quite embarrassed, and then someone said to me, "Let go." And I thought, no, I don't believe in this, and then I fell. All incredible tales, like the tale in Acts, beyond normality. But if you're thinking, well, that's all very well, but it's never happened to me, please let me assure you that this had nothing to do with being holy, good, or special. You're not a lesser Christian if you've never experienced God's Spirit in this way. I personally think that God sends his Spirit in spectacular ways for specific reasons. I think that what happened to me that day in the church was purely so I would believe in these experiences. It didn't change my life in any obvious way. I went home after, ate tea, and carried on with what I was doing. But I now had a belief that I didn't have before, which is a good job, really, as I would have been a bit of a rubbish priest if I had trouble believing in Pentecostal Spirit. But I think maybe that's why I needed to receive his Spirit in that way, because I need to believe so others will. The passage in Acts describes a time when the disciples had seen Jesus ascend to heaven. Having been guided and nurtured by him for 3 years, they would have felt alone. They knew they were not popular with the religious leaders. They knew persecution awaited them. They needed a powerful experience, I think, to reinforce their belief and give them an inner strength. See how Peter was instantly moved to talk of Scripture and speak of its fulfillment in Jesus. God's Spirit gave him a strength and confidence. Furthermore, the disciples were able to talk in tongues. Some people interpret this as a sort of spirit language that sounds rather like gobbledygook that people speak when overwhelmed by God's Spirit. However, in this passage, it actually names the many and varied languages that the disciples were able to speak. Well done to Jane, our reader, for being able to pronounce them all. But what's important is that this enabled the disciples to spread the message to all peoples. So the message of Christianity was strengthened and empowered and gained momentum. You know, sometimes we hear people say, "I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual." Phil was talking about this the other week. And what they're saying, I think, is that they're sensitive to something other, something abstract, something that can't be defined, something beyond themselves. And they're quite attracted by that. But they're not religious because that would involve, they think, rules, limits, rigidity, and do-nots. How sad that actually the freeing Spirit of God, which I think is actually what they're attracted by, is something they see as a straitjacket. And perhaps in our rituals and codes of behaviour and how things are done, the church have unwittingly reinforced this. So how could we show others the freedom of his Spirit, the joy it gives us, the strength and love in adversity that we receive from his Spirit? Well, perhaps we need to be open to him and be receptive to his many forms. God's Spirit is of God and of Jesus, so he cannot be limited. God's Spirit is described in the Bible as wind, fire, and also rain. But if you think about it, wind can be a breeze or a whirlwind, fire a spark or inferno, rain dew or a downpour. Think of the difference between a whirlwind and its power to change things, and a breeze and its ability to cool and soothe. Fire, a spark that can warm or feed and keep us in safety, or an inferno, which is powerful and clears. Rain, a gentle life-giving dew, or a cleansing downpour, life-giving for dry places. Remember that God speaks in a gentle whisper as well as a violent wind, different at different times for different people. And if God's Spirit becomes part of you and you begin to see the world through Spirit-filled eyes, then you realise how God's freeing Spirit is all around us. It's the laughter following sadness, it's the dew on a grass blade, the sunlight shining through a leaf, it's the bravery you didn't know you had, the joy you feel looking at a loved one, the comfort you feel following sadness. Receiving God's Spirit doesn't make bad things go away. Some people mistakenly think that being a Christian means that everything will then be perfect, and they're then disappointed to find that things still go wrong and life is still hard. The disciples continued to be persecuted as they tried to proclaim God's message. But what his Spirit did was give them an inner strength, words and confidence to enable them to carry on in the face of opposition. Put simply, God's Spirit is God's presence, and people will experience his presence in all sorts of ways. But I believe that we've all received God's Spirit. Whether we recognise his Spirit in a physical way, or whether we feel his presence within us, or whether we're aware of him or not, I think he abundantly blesses us with his Spirit. And he sent his Spirit to help us. So be open to him Give him space to enter your heart and help you with whatever you need help with. But then remember to show his spirit to others with acts of kindness and sharing him. You'll see his spirit not when you look inwards, but when you look outwards at the effect you have on others. I thought we'd listen to a piece of music now to still the time and give you a space to be quiet with your God and to talk to him or be silent with him and receive him. Roger's chosen a piece of Celtic Christian music by a group called Iona. And the story behind the music is it's about a woman standing on a seashore thinking of all the people who've gone before and all the prayers that have been said. And she asks for the wild goose to come to her. And the wild goose is the Celtic sign of the Holy Spirit, equivalent to the dove in the Bible. But you can think of that story, but equally, if you want to think of something else and just let God's Spirit work with you, just be open and just see what happens as we listen to the music. Let's be blessed, let's be refreshed, and let's be anointed. Amen.
Here I stand, looking out to see where a thousand souls have prayed and a thousand lives were laid on the sand, were laid on the sand. Years have passed since they have died, and the word shall last, and the wild goose shall fly, shall fly. Looking out to see, and I say a prayer that the wild